Welcome, boys and girls, to another exciting episode of Blitzcast. This is Blitzcast number 49, and the entire show is going to be dedicated to the scouting combine. We're going to recap the combine, everything that happened down in Indy, the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll talk about some rumors. We'll talk about some guys that could possibly help themselves get into the top 5, top 10, or maybe out of the first round completely. So I'm going to bring in my partner and co-host, Ed Hunt. Ed, overall, did you watch the combine? Did you enjoy the event? Give me your overall thoughts before we get into individual numbers and how guys did.
Yeah, I mean, the combine is kind of cool. It's, you know, you kind of get an overview of, you know, who's out there. And, you know, a lot of the commentation is, you know, based on, you know, just different players and storylines that, you know, going into the draft. I do kind of wish that they showed on NFL Network more than just the 40 time. You know, I know that sometimes they like skip ahead, you know, they might show you in the weight room if a guy has a highlight or something, but I kind of like to see all the events because there's really more to it than 40 times. But I mean, when you watch the combine, that's what you get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to see it all, you got to attend it. And even when you attend it, they don't let you inside. I mean, if you're a reporter, you're watching on TV in some media rooms out there. So basically, you're a spectator just like everyone else, even if you attend the Combine live. All right, before we move on to the Combine, Jason Witten talk. I didn't expect this. It seems like Jason Witten has the fire is still lit. I mean, he still wants to be an NFL player, and he decided to come back to the Dallas Cowboys, and he signed a one-year contract. Obviously, he's leaving the Monday Night Football booth, and I'm sure, you know, most fans, to be honest with you, I mean, he had mixed results. I mean, most people didn't like him as a color commentator on Monday Night Football, especially after he, you know, replace John Gruden. And so I'm sure fans are, you know, they're applauding this, that he's coming back to the NFL. But let's talk about what impact he could have on the Cowboys after, you know, missing the entire year from the game.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to judge a guy who's been out of football for a year. I mean, he just hasn't been thinking about football. He hasn't been, I don't know if he's been working out and, you know, I do think he's enough of an athlete and he's still young enough that he could still be sort of an average tight end. But I don't know if he could still be Jason Witten, you know, of the glory years anymore.
Let's be fair here. He wasn't the Jason Witten the last couple of years with the Cowboys. He's lost his speed and. You know, he was good in the red zone. He was really effective against zone coverage, but he wasn't able to create separation against man coverage anymore, whether it was against linebackers or safeties. And I don't expect him to do that now with being away from the game for a year. But I think he's going to help the Cowboys in this regard. I think he's going to be a safety net for Dak Prescott. They have Amari Cooper now. Cooper is going to draw that coverage, force double teams at times, and Jason Witten can still work up the seam. I don't expect him to, you know, light it up. I don't even expect him to be a full-time tight end. I think he's going to be used in those two tight end sets. He's going to be the number two tight end for the Cowboys, but he's still going to be a valuable weapon in the passing game, especially in the red zone when Dak Prescott is running around and is in trouble a little bit. So he's definitely going to help. I'm not sure he's not going to rescue the Cowboys. He's not going to lead them to the Super Bowl. He's certainly not the main piece, but I'm excited about it because he's a future Hall of Famer. He definitely, you know, set a lot of passing records out there for the franchise, played for so long. So, you know, if a guy still wants to play, go ahead and play. I mean, for as long as you can. I mean, I can't argue with that. So I think he will help the Cowboys. And it's great to see terrific players return back to the game.
Yeah, I just my question is you know, what is he doing this for? I just he's kind of
the ring, Ed. I'm sure he sees a chance for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, especially with this team making the playoffs this year. Obviously, they're going to be hungry. Jason Garrett is not getting that extension. Obviously, that Jerry Jones has made it known that, hey, Jason Garrett is basically fighting for his job this year. He's got to do better than just lead us into the playoffs. He's got to win some games. So I'm sure Jason Witten is doing this for the love of the game, and he's hoping to win that Super Bowl that has escaped him.
Yeah, I just you know, I find it that he's not going to be in the prime of his career. I don't see the Cowboys being I don't see the Cowboys making a run for the Super Bowl. In fact, I think you know, making the playoffs is kind of their goal again this year.
I'm sure Jerry Jones is hoping that they win the Super Bowl, and yeah, all the players in the offseason, they dream about the Super Bowl, and obviously Jason Witten sees some potential in the Cowboys. Whether you and I agree with that, it's regardless. I mean, he sees something in this Dallas Cowboys team, and it made him, you know, come back for an extra year. He's definitely chasing that championship. There's no other reason for him to come back again, because it's not like he's trying to, you know, improve on his numbers. He's already a Hall of Fame tight end. He's going to get there one day. All right, let's return back to the combine. The big story is Kyler Murray not working out, but he obviously checked in. He got in into that barrier. He's over 5'10". He got to about 207, and people got excited about it. You know, it's crazy. Last year, Lamar Jackson was too short, too light. This year, Kyler Murray is just about right. All of a sudden, you know, people are like looking at Kyler Murray and they're like, geez, he's over 5'10". He's big enough. You know, we feel good about it. Those same people that bashed Lamar Jackson last year at the combine. It's amazing to me. So Kyler Murray checked in, passed the measurement test. You know, he's got 9.5, you know, hand size, which is also good enough. But he didn't work out, Ed. But after the combine or during the combine, there's a lot of speculation. And to be honest with you, maybe the Cardinals are really good at poker. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim, they might be really, really good, and they're trying to force somebody's hand. But everything that we heard from the combine and after the combine is that the Cardinals are willing to take Kyler Murray at number one. Do you buy that, Ed? Are they going to get rid of Josh Rosen and take Kyler Murray at number one?
Okay, so the thing is I just want to say I don't agree with the move. But I do think that there is enough teeth to this rumor that I think it's going to happen. I think Cliff Kingsbury sees a better fit in Kyler Murray in what he wants to execute in his offense, and that's why they're doing this.
It's interesting because when Cliff Kingsbury took the job, he obviously accepted Josh Rosen as his quarterback. He knew that this was the franchise, and he obviously felt comfortable with him. But when Kyler Murray committed to football – when he said that he was going to show up at the combine, give up his contract with the A's, and give it a go full time, I think that's when Cliff Kingsbury's eyes must have lit up, because he made that comment back in October that he said, hey, if I was running an NFL franchise, if I was a head coach, I would take Kyler Murray number one. So obviously he still feels that way. But it's amazing. I've never seen this happen before. Even if this rumor is true. All right, you take a franchise quarterback last year in Josh Rosen with the number 10th overall pick. You give up, you move up, you give up your first round pick, your third round pick, your fifth round pick. You obviously thought very highly of this guy. You thought he was going to be the franchise. And then this year, the following year, you're willing to blow it all up, especially knowing that you don't have a very good team. David Johnson was coming back from an injury. You don't have a really good offensive line. You don't have a really good team. All of a sudden, you're starting all over again at quarterback. Isn't it smarter to keep Rosen and draft Nick Bosa with that number one overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, you know, I say you work with Rosen. I think he, you know, to me, he's still the second best quarterback from that draft class. I think long-term potential, I think he's the second best.
He's better than all the quarterbacks in this draft. Do you agree with me there?
Who is he?
Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, if we're taking what we know about Josh Rosen, we evaluated him last year when he was coming out. If you compare him with this quarterback class, he's a better quarterback than all these guys. Kyler Murray, Jones, Locke, and Haskins as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. You know, whoever gets Josh Rosen, I mean, that's going to be a steal. You know, the Redskins are kind of, you know, got a kind of a mid round pick. And so, you know, it's not like they have the draft capital to go up and get the quarterback that they want. You know, this would be a perfect opportunity for them to stamp on that and, you know, go and get Josh Rosen, you know, a guy who fits into their system well, a guy who, you know, has a lot of potential. You know, this could be a young quarterback who can, you know, they can develop through the system, they can rebuild around. And, you know, they've got some pieces, you know, they got some pieces on defense. And, you know, I think if there's a winner in all this, I think it's the Redskins if they can execute a trade for Josh Rosen.
So you believe this trade? You think it's gonna happen? I mean,
there's just enough teeth to this rumor. It's just, I mean, I've even heard it framed as it's a done deal. Like it's not even controversial. That's how I've heard it. That's the word I'm getting.
Could the Cardinals be forcing another team to trade up to that number one overall pick and get Kyler Murray? Last week, you speculated, and I said it was crazy, you speculated that the Raiders are interested in Kyler Murray. They obviously have three first-round picks. They've got the capital to move up to number one. Do you believe that the Cardinals are playing it this way so they could, you know, make the Raiders come up to number one and give up a couple of those first-round picks?
No, I legitimately, because the thing is but they won't do that because they'll show their hand because they're going to trade Josh Rosen before the draft.
All right. I mean, that's like I said, it's a crazy rumor out there, but the more you start to dig into it, you start to put the pieces together and you realize that there's definitely some teeth in this. And it seems like the Cardinals want to go with Kyler Murray and they want to blow up this whole thing with Josh Rosen. But you know what? It wasn't Josh Rosen's fault that the Cardinals were so bad last year. And I don't know what the Cardinals saw during his rookie season to make them think that, hey, Kyler Murray is a better leader and a better quarterback than Josh Rosen is. Because I think Rosen can execute Cliff Kingsbury's system as well as Kyler Murray. The only thing that Josh Rosen doesn't have is the mobility that Kyler Murray has.
I mean, I just think with some good development, I think Kyler Murray can be a franchise quarterback in this league. I wouldn't take him number one because I don't think he's still kind of a raw quarterback for me. I think there's still some areas to work, you know, pocket awareness and, you know, just decision making and things like that. Just, you know, stuff that's going to take some coaching, and he's really going to need. I don't think he's the type of guy who really can come in day one and start. I really don't. I think he's a guy, you know, you might have to sit for 4 weeks, get a bridge quarterback, get a Tyrod Taylor type, you know, and bridge the gap.
To be honest with you, I don't think that's what the Cardinals think. I mean, if they're willing to trade Josh Rosen and if they're willing to take Kyler Murray with that number one overall pick, I think they're hoping that he's going to come in and start right away. I'm sure they're going to look for a backup quarterback, but they're hoping that Kyler Murray takes this job day one, that this is going to be his job to win because Kingsbury is sure that Murray can succeed. Yeah, he's been a one-year starter at Oklahoma, but he's accurate. He's got really good ball placement, and he's got a strong enough arm. And so when you look past this, his height and weight, I mean, a guy can play. He can't play. He's got mobility. He is, for a guy with his speed and his ability and his acceleration, he's a pocket quarterback. He likes to sit in there and deliver balls from inside the pocket. So he's got a lot of ability, and obviously I can understand why the Cardinals are, you know, are really high on him. They believe that they've got something. And to be honest with you, look at this. Baker Mayfield had success. Obviously, we've got Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. All, you know, undersized, so-called undersized quarterbacks are having more and more success in the NFL. They're getting more and more of a chance to lead the team, because before that, we only had like Drew Brees as the only example. And before that, it was Doug Flutie. Now undersized guys are getting a chance and they can play. I just wish, like, you know, if we're going like old school here, I wish that in today's game, we would see guys like Joe Hamilton or Michael Bishop, guys that were kind of ahead of their time, or even Michael Vick. I mean, Michael Vick was ahead of his time. If Michael Vick was playing in today's game, I think he might become that superstar that everyone was hoping for, because when the Falcons drafted him, they tried to make him into a pocket passer. And, we saw, you know, the Ravens have success with Lamar Jackson. I can only imagine if Michael Vick was coming out in the 2019 NFL draft. We'll keep an eye on this rumor. Obviously, Kyler Murray is an exciting prospect, but I think everybody is kind of shocked, to be honest with you, by what the Cardinals are trying to do. All right, let's move on to the recap of the scouting combine, and we'll start with the wide receivers. We'll start with a couple of guys that caught everyone's eye, and I'm sure at top of that list, we'll go with DK Metcalf, right, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm almost scared by his 1.4 or 1.6% body fat. I mean, that's just like, that's almost unhealthy.
All right, I mean, he's a big man. He's got great size, and obviously he likes to spend time in the gym. So,
I mean, it's more than just spending time in the gym, to be honest with you. He's a workout freak. He's got to have some sort of really good nutrition plan. He's got to have amazing genetics. It's more than just being a workout freak.
All right. Now, obviously he is a workout freak, because look at his size and look at his 40 time and his vertical jump and his broad jump at the NFL scouting combine.
Yeah. I mean, he is definitely one of my winners. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, I won't dispute that. You know, he had clearly one of the best. I mean, he had the best A of the receivers, just, you know, total. But, you know, the thing is, too, about DK Metcalf is you sort of expected him to be a combine warrior. I mean, this is his, you know, when you talk about strengths, you know, combine warrior is what his strengths are. But really what I worry about with him is his tape. I don't think his tape really stands out. You know, I know that, you know, you go on NFL Network and they show the highlight of him catching that touchdown pass against Alabama. And really, that was the only touchdown that Ole Miss scored against Alabama. And, you know, it makes him look good. But, you know, it's kind of biased to watch the highlights with him and just, you know.
I agree with that. He's a receiver that will drop balls. He's not a good route runner. But with his size, his speed, his athleticism, it's going to get some teams excited. And to be honest with you, with the draft that has questions of wide receiver, he's the only guy that kind of has cemented his standing as a first-round wide receiver. Nobody else did that. Maybe Marquise Brown sneaks in at the end of the first round. Maybe somebody takes a chance on him, but he's been injured. He's a small receiver. He's been injured. He's not going to work out for teams. So DK Metcalf is the only first-round receiver now with his workout, and I can definitely say that. There's no way he's going to be a top five, top 10 pick, but he might be. I mean, if John Ross can go in the top 10, why can't DK Metcalf? If teams feel that he's healthy, if he checks out medically, obviously durability concerns are a huge issue with Metcalf. He just wasn't able to stay healthy at Ole Miss. But I've heard this comparison, Ed, and I think it's a good one. It's not me. Somebody has compared DK Metcalf to Josh Gordon when he was coming out of college. I think it's a good comparison because Gordon was also a raw prospect coming out of college.
I guess. I just My first round picks, I really like to have guys who I know will be solid players. I don't like to take big risks in the first round.
But teams are willing to take risks in the first round. If, like, when Josh Allen goes in the top 10, NFL teams are willing to take risks in the first round. All right. The only thing that really scares me about Metcalf is that he's just too big. He doesn't change directions well. Will he ever be a good route runner? I don't think so. He's never going to develop into a Julio Jones type of player. And I think his numbers, his three cone, his 20-yard shuttle, they speak volumes. So he really did well in those tests that show your explosion, your athleticism, like the broad jump, the vertical jump. Obviously, he ran a fast 40 time. But when he came to showing off his, you know, change of direction skills, he really struggled there. I mean, his numbers are mediocre, even for a big wide receiver. All right, anybody else stood out to you at the wide receiver position?
Well, I just want to mention, I mean, I thought Miles Boykin just kind of had an overall really nice day at the combine.
It was awesome. It was awesome, Ed. I mean, you're looking at his numbers, and it's just, where did this kid come from?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I wanted to mention was N'Keal Harry. There's kind of a rumors going around that he interviewed really well, and we don't know how good that source is. But, you know, this is a guy who, you know, clearly has the size, you know, could definitely be like that big target, you know, that teams want, you know, put him on the outside, have him be that big target. You know, quarterbacks like those big targets. And so, you know, I think a team with a quarterback who has a lot of clout, you know, like, you know, teams like, you know, Roethlisberger might like him, or, you know, teams that have been around, you know, might like a guy like N'Keal Harry. You know, he's not really a guy that I put in the top 10 because I just didn't think his tape was really top 10 worthy. But, you know, I think this is a guy who, you know, we'll probably go in the first two rounds because other teams seem to like him.
I think he's definitely a day two pick. He's also not a prospect that I'm really high on, but I do have him inside my top 10. So, yeah, he deserves to go in the second round. I'm sure someone is going to fall in love with him, but he's got to run, you know, he's got to show how well he does in the three cone, in the 20-yard shuttle. I didn't see those numbers. He didn't test there, so that's going to be a question, and I can tell you one thing. He's going to fall short in those events a little bit. A couple other names I wanted to bring up. Hakeem Butler, I think, surprised a lot of people by running 4.48 because he's just not that fast on tape. A.J. Brown, 4.49, also a surprise to me. I thought he was a 4.5 guy, so really answered those questions. Paris Campbell and Andy Isabella had the fastest 40 times out of the wide receivers, ran 4.31, but that was kind of to be expected. I agree with you. Miles Boykin, I think, surprised everyone. I mean, his workout was just really, really good. And another workout freak is Emmanuel Hall, the wide receiver from Missouri. 11.8 on the broad, 43.5 on the vertical, 4.39 in the 40. I mean, we knew this guy was a one-trick pony, and he showed. I mean, he showed his explosive ability and, you know, his ability to run fast in the 40. So, I'm actually
I do think that Emmanuel Hall has a place in the NFL.
He does.
I think he's a role player. I think he's definitely a role player. A guy who I think, you know, will stay in the league because I think he's gonna drop a job on special teams. I think he's a guy who, you know, will be, you know, teams will like him because they'll, you know, they'll have that deep threat and they can bring him in when they need a deep threat. And, you know, you sort of bring him in on a second round, you know, second down and, you know, throw it deep to him. And, you know, I think he just fits in the league as a role player.
I just think that with his skill set, his ability to stretch the field, with Drew Lock being his quarterback the past couple of years, I mean, there's something just not right with Emmanuel Hall a little bit. I realized that there was some issues in college, and he should have been a better player at Missouri, and he wasn't. And if he wasn't, you know, he didn't become that number one target at Missouri, you know, there's no way he's going to become that number four, number five target in the NFL. I don't see it. I mean, there's just something off with Emmanuel Hall. It really is. And I've heard he's got poor work ethic issues. But like I said, I don't want to get in there. All right. Overall, the wide receivers had a good day. I thought they answered some questions. 18 out of the 48 wide receivers, and not all of them, by the way, tested in the 40, ran a 4.4 or better. So I thought overall, wide receivers really had an outstanding day. Let's go with the tight ends, Ed. And, you know, the Iowa tight ends, or there's one Iowa tight end that really stood out above all the rest.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is Noah Fant. You know, he pretty much lit it up in every category. You know, I think, you know, coming in, he was sort of in that, you know, one, you know, in between round one and in between round two. Now I think he's kind of a late first round pick.
No, I think he's a top 15 pick, to be honest with you. I think
so. You think Hockenson and Fant will both go 15 in the top 15?
I actually think Hockenson will go top 10 because I think that there are a couple of teams, maybe like the Jaguars at 7 or the Lions at 8. Or at number 9, the Buffalo Bills. I think when people dig into Hockenson tape, and they realize now that he's a really good athlete as well, not on Noah Fant's level, but Hockenson is probably the most complete tight end that we've seen in the past 5 years, as far as his blocking, as far as his ability in the receiving game as well. And he's got upside to him. I think he's a top 10 pick, and I think Fant goes in the top 15 because, you know, he's a great receiver. He's not a great blocker, but he's a great receiver. And there's a place for him out there. And I just can't see him lasting till the end of the first round. I'm sure if there's going to be some team trading up to get their hands on him, because this guy can stretch the field in the same way that, you know, we've seen some guys do it. Like Eric Ebron, he finally came into his own this year. Obviously, I mean, we've seen some other wide receivers, tight ends as well. Noah Fant is a player that can help you there. And I think he goes in the top 15. He really helped himself with this workout. Any other tight ends that stood out to you? Anybody else that
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Foster Moreau, he's a guy I'm starting to really like.
He's your boy.
You know, it's funny. I almost think, you know, talking to him at the Senior Bowl, I almost got he was really humble, and I got this impression, like, I feel like I like him more as a player than he likes himself as a player, you know, I just from my conversation with him, you know, as a guy, you know, he's a guy who he led the tight ends in the short shuttle, which, you know, shows that, you know, he could be a guy who can have some speed getting off the line. You know, it sort of shows that he has it in the receiver category. He has it. You know, I saw him sort of be I noticed he was kind of a mismatch in the Senior Bowl practices. And, you know, his tape and what he was asked to do at LSU was to be a blocking tight end. And so I just see a complete tight end, and you know he's kind of off a lot of teams' radar, and you know I think he just could be a nice like fifth round guy that you know you could get, and you know you could you know you put on your roster, and maybe he could play a little special teams, and you know kind of be your number two.
Any tight ends that really have some work cut out for them for themselves, and. Who do you expect? Do you expect some of these tight ends to bounce back at the pro day? Who disappointed you at Indy?
What was the 6'7" guy's name?
6'7" guy? You mean from Missouri?
Maybe it was Missouri. Yeah.
Missouri. Well, it's Kendon Blanton if it's Missouri, or Zach Gentry from Michigan.
Zach Gentry. Yeah. Zach Gentry. You know, a guy who really didn't put up a lot of reps on the bench, and you know, a guy who didn't really I just didn't think had a very athletic, you know, he didn't test well in the athletic numbers, but he also didn't test well on the bench. And so you know, it kind of makes me think, you know, are you just drafting him on hype? I mean, is that what it is? You just know he'll be a mismatch because of his height. You know, well, how many linebackers are 6'8"?
I'm going to go with the Georgia tight end, Isaac Nauta. You know, he came in at about 6'3", 244. I expect him to run somewhere in the 4.7s. He ran a 4.91. And also, the rest of his numbers across the board, they're really below average. When you look at his three cone, you look at his short shuttle, I guess I expected a little bit more out of Isaac Nauta after watching him at Georgia. I thought he was underused, and I thought he was a pretty good player, but I was really disappointed. I expected a little bit better out of him. All right, let's move on to the running backs, a group that is just underwhelming. I mean, we knew that this wasn't a great running back class, but, I mean, Josh Jacobs didn't work out. He didn't run the 40. Obviously, he sat out. And Bryce Love also wasn't there. A couple of my favorite running backs really, really hurt themselves at the scouting combine.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Singletary, you know, coming in at 6'7", I mean, that's...
6'7"? 5'7".
Yeah, I mean, coming in at 5'7", I mean, that's just too, you know, that screams like, you know, the size of a speed back. And, you know, he ran like a 4.66. So he was in the 4.6 range. So, you know, not a good combine showing by him. You know,
it's a poor showing for him. If you look at the rest of his numbers, Ed, I mean, if you just not focus on the 40 time, the rest of his numbers also didn't look stellar. I mean, he didn't show much. I mean, he tested really below average here. He's got a lot of workout. I mean, he's got a lot of work left to do. He's got to come back at his pro day and show that he can run somewhere in the 4.5s at least. I mean, that was my number one running back in the rankings heading into the combine. Not afraid to say it. He's more quick than fast, but for a guy that wasn't featured in the passing game, especially last year, for a guy that has some question marks as in pass protection, if you're small, you gotta be somewhere at least in the low 4.5s. But I'm looking at the guys in the league right now starting, or guys that have started. You look at Darren Sproles, you look at Ray Rice, you look at, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew. Those guys were small, but they were fast. And unfortunately, Devin Singletary is a player that I'm going to drop in my rankings. I mean, I hate to do this because obviously I think that there's a lot more to this, especially when you grade running backs. Obviously, you know, some guys will not test well, and we saw, you know, some other running backs not test well as well. But it's hard for me. I mean, when you're short and you're slow, it's tough for me not to drop you. Anybody else, you know, stood out in a good or a bad way?
You know, there's a couple guys. I mean, David Montgomery now kind of becomes my number one running back. And, I mean, he ran a 4.63, which, I mean, it's not the worst, but it's not what I wanted to see out of him. I wanted to see a guy who was running in the 4.5s. Another guy, you know, didn't really run very well, Nick Brossett. He ran a 4.72. This is a guy who, you know, got some Shrine Game, you know, buzz, and it's just, you know, a lot of teams believe in LSU running backs, but you know, he's definitely no Darius Geis.
No, absolutely not. I mean, let's close the book on that. We knew that. But he certainly had a bad showing. I thought he was going to be somewhere in the 4.6 range. Also had a poor showing as well. Anybody else stood out to you?
Well, I guess you know, Benny Snell from Kentucky. He ran a 4.66. You know, that's kind of expected. He's kind of a bigger back. You know, he'll be kind of a niche. You know, a team looking for a bigger back, you know, will take him.
I'll give you a couple of names. You know, we're talking about the bad. I'm trying to find some positive out of this running back group. I'll give you a couple of names that did well. Miles Sanders had a really good combine, 4.49, 36 on the vertical jump, had a really good three cone time. Miles Sanders is a player that's going to move up. Just because I think when people will dig into his tape, they'll realize, hey, this guy's got potential. And it's not because what Saquon Barkley did last year. It's just Sanders is a really talented player with upside. And especially in this average running back class, he's got a chance to move up. And also, I'm going to look up Mike Weber from Ohio State. I thought he had a good combine as well, Ed. He ran a 4.47. Weber is kind of the forgotten man a little bit, but I thought he had a really good junior season after not getting off to such a hot start as a big-time recruit coming out of high school. J.K. Dobbins was the number one guy, but Weber was featured more this year, and I actually liked what I saw. I mean, he might not be the fastest guy. He might not be the strongest guy out there, but there is room for Mike Weber in the NFL as like a fifth-round pick, a guy that can help as a committee running back out there. So I thought Weber and Sanders really had a good combine overall. And your favorite boy, Justice Hill, obviously showed that he's a really good athlete, and you know he's got legitimate 4.4 speed. Let's go with the offensive line, Ed. Offensive lineman, obviously, there's a lot of question marks about, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? But who cares at times? I mean, sometimes he's a damn good football player. It doesn't matter where you play him. So who stood out for you at the combine from the O-line group?
I think Garrett Bradbury is definitely a guy, you know, who helped himself. I thought he looked good in drills. I thought, you know, he ran a 4.940, which is good for an offensive guard or, you know, an offensive. Well, he probably plays center.
He's a center.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, not that he's going to need that speed, but he showed that he can be athletic and, you know, teams don't mind that a guy can move around. I thought Andre Dillard, you know, had a 4.940, you know, a guy who, you know, is probably, you know, sort of the number two tackle in this class. You know, maybe Juwan Taylor from Florida is probably the number one. So I thought he had a nice showing. I mean, it's
anybody else fell short for you? Not as far as testing goes, but you were disappointed with their, you know, height, weight, maybe, you know, their arm length out there. Anybody disappointed you from the offensive line?
This guy Herbig from Stanford, you know, seems like a big guy, but I just wonder if he's an athlete. You know, he was sort of towards the bottom in a lot of categories, a lot of running categories, and you know, he did well enough on the bench, but you know, I like to have a little athleticism in my offensive lineman. I don't just like, you know, the NFL is too good to just have, you know, big guys and just put big guys up there. You know, you need to have guys who are big but also athletic.
Absolutely, especially in today's NFL. All right, a couple of names that also did well. Chris Lindstrom from Boston College. He's getting some buzz as a first-round pick now, obviously as a guard. Eric McCoy, the center from Texas A&M, also getting some buzz now as a possible late first-round pick, or he's definitely cemented his standing as a top 40 pick in this draft. And had a good combine, a really good senior bowl, and, you know, his arrow is definitely pointing up. All right, let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. Let's go with defensive linemen, edge rushers. Obviously, many people wanted to see what Nick Bosa would do because he's missed most of the year. You don't know what you have there. So let's go with him. Obviously, a lot of people have been hyping him up, including us, as the number one overall pick. So how were you impressed with what Nick Bosa showed in Indy?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he did well enough. I mean, I think there are guys who are more combine warriors than Nick Bosa, but you know, Nick Bosa has the tape and the combine. So, I mean, he's pretty much he's the number one defensive player in a good defensive player draft. I mean, he's probably the most sure thing of any defensive.
Don't say that. Don't say that. I hate that. I mean, don't use those words. Whenever they start saying sure thing, you know, he's not going to bust. He's definitely going to be a good player. Those guys always turn out to be – always fall short of those expectations. There's no such thing as a safe pick in this draft. But Nick Bosa is a damn good football player and a really good athlete, and I think he showed that at the combine. Anybody else stood out to you in a good or a bad way? I mean, obviously Brian Burns kind of lit it up.
Yeah, Brian Burns, you know, made himself some money. I'm just not big on his tape, so
I know. You know, but let's talk about what he did at the combine, because I mean, 4.53, 36 vertical. I mean, he ran a faster three cone than most of the running backs at the combine out here. I mean, Brian Burns showed what he is. He's an athlete, and what I liked about him is he got up to 249, Ed. I mean, during the season, it's no secret, he was at about 225, 230. He got up to 249, and to me, it's also in a good and a bad way. Obviously, he got stronger by about 20, 25 pounds. But I'm also wondering, I mean, Florida State, I mean, they've got a great weight program. Why hasn't Brian Burns gotten bigger sooner? I mean, they obviously have nutritionists. They eat right. They've got a great program in the weight room. And I'm always wondering, why aren't these guys getting bigger before they start training for the combine? I mean, it says something about you and your work ethic, and you start questioning it a little bit. How hard of a worker is Brian Burns? Is he just working for the paycheck? Why was he slowly getting up there? Because when he arrived as a freshman, I thought he was about 220. So he's only gotten up in 3 years. He's only gained about 10 pounds of muscle. All of a sudden, he gains about 20, 25 pounds during these couple of months. So it makes me question his work ethic a little bit. So that you got to put this in context a little bit. When guys get bigger fast, you start questioning whether they can hold that weight. That's one thing, because it's manufactured weight. And then secondly, you question a little bit their work ethic. So, but not take away from Brian Burns. He really had a good workout. Anybody else stood out to you from the D-line group?
Well, I mean, we can't go throughout the show without mentioning Montez Sweat. I mean, he killed it at the combine, just all around. You know, everything from wingspan to, you know, his 4.41 40 to, I mean, he's just – I mean, he's a freak of an athlete. I mean, he's just, you know, you just don't find many guys like him on the edge.
All right, so he has good tape. He had a good Senior Bowl. He killed it at the combine. So obviously his postseason, his arrow is going up. How high is he going to go, Ed?
I like him sort of in the 20s, 25 range. I don't think his tape was necessarily, you know, in a good edge class. You know, there's just a lot of guys who are going to go above him. You know, Cleveland Farrell is going to go above him. You know, Ja'Kai Polite, I know this is controversial, but I think Ja'Kai Polite will go ahead of him. You know, other guys, you know, Nick Bosa is going to go ahead of him. This is just a good edge class, and so I don't see him getting drafted high just because there are better options.
I think you're underselling him a little bit. All right, let's go with Rashawn Gary, your other favorite prospect in this draft.
You know, I sort of expected him to have a good combine. So,
I mean, when you're about 6'5", 277, and you run a 4.58, you know that we knew that he was going to have a great combine, but that's freaky, man. I mean, that's freaky. And when you have a 38 vertical jump, that's freaky. I mean, it makes you think why he was the number one overall recruit coming out of his class. We knew that he was an athlete. Obviously, we know that his tape is really underwhelming. But that's freaky, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, I think some team's going to like him. you know, I think some 4-3 team is going to take him, you know, and I think they'll take him in the first round for sure.
I was disappointed that Oliver didn't run. Obviously, he checked in at close to 6'2", 287, a really good number for him. Vertical jump, broad jump, he showed off his, you know, explosive ability. He showed that he's a great athlete. We knew that. I wanted to see him, you know, run. Obviously, he decided to hold off on that.
Yeah, I just – Ed Oliver's tape just does it for me, so.
No, I agree with that. But, again, I wanted him to get some buzz, you know, a little bit more, especially if he ran well and, you know, put up some of those numbers that we heard. He would have been in that Rashawn Gary category, and that we would have been talking about that. So,
the storyline to not forget is that he's at 280 now. So I see that as a win in Indianapolis.
287, big time. Quinnen Williams, by the way, 6'3", 315. And what is he? I mean, no, 6'3", 303. I apologize. 483, Ed. I mean, this guy has got great tape. He showed up and he ran that 40 faster than, you know, all the defensive tackles out there.
He broke the 300. If you're over 300 pounds, the highest 40 time ever is 483, which is what Quinnen Williams ran. So, and he also had a vertical jump of 30 and a half inches for a defensive lineman. So,
yeah, these guys, he's a
freak. Yeah.
These guys just keep getting bigger and faster. And obviously, you know, these training programs, they're helping him get there. By the way, my guy, Chase Winovich, about 6'3", 256, had a really good workout. And I think he showed that he's far more athletic than people are giving him credit for. And he can be that 3-4 outside linebacker off the edge. All right, let's go to the linebacker group. You know, a couple of other guys that really shined, a couple of juniors that I think we expected to shine. Devin Bush from Michigan and our boy, Devin White from LSU.
Yeah, I mean, those guys killed it on the 40. You know, those guys are both great athletes for sure. You know, I don't see the coverage on tape, but I mean, I will say, you know, they have the raw tools to be good coverage guys.
They've got the speed, Ed. They've got the speed and athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm doing it based on tape, I'm gonna do Mac Wilson, but. You know, those guys are freaks of athletes and, you know, they can really play a number of roles for linebackers. And so, you know, those guys are both, you know, there's three guys who are going to go in the first round. I think it's Mac Wilson. I think it's going to be Devin Bush and I think it's going to be, Devin White. So, yeah.
You know, this linebacker group overall was a solid group. Anybody else stood out to you, from the combine? Jumped out at you? Anybody? I mean, Josh Allen also had a really good combine.
I kind of expected that because he's a speed rusher. You know, a guy who I thought did well. He's a guy I kind of like. Ben Burkhirvin, a guy who played at the Shrine Game. He ran a 4.57 40. I mean, I think that's still pretty good for a linebacker. I think he can definitely be a versatile linebacker for somebody. You know, I mean, I don't think teams will pick him as high as I would pick him, but, you know, he could definitely be like, you know, maybe that like third or fourth round guy who, you know, could come in and be a linebacker in the league.
You know who really surprised me, and it's a guy I saw at the Shrine Game, Justin Hollins from Oregon. You know, 6'5", 248, obviously, you know, the long arms, a huge wingspan. He ran a 4.5 flat, also had a 36.5 vertical jump, had a really good broad jump, and he moved, in the three cone. You know, like I said, ran faster than some of the wide receivers and most of the running backs out there. So Justin Hollins really surprised me how well he moved and change directions, especially at that size. So I really didn't see that on film, but, you know, I got to go back and watch some more. Let's go with the DBs. We're going to finish there. We're not going to talk about specialists. We're not going to talk about quarterbacks because they're throwing to wide open targets out there. Let's go with the DBs. Always a fun group. And, you know, Deion Sanders does a great job, you know, giving out his analysis on how to run the 40.
Yeah, I thought a funny moment in the combine was when David Long he sort of played with his toe up, and which is exactly what Deion Sanders said to do, and he sort of pulled him aside and congratulated him, and sort of when Deion Sanders pulled him aside, he was thinking, oh no, am I in trouble? You know, but and then he was just, you know, he was kind of nervous, and he was like, oh yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you, but he said it in kind of a nervous voice. But yeah, David Long was a guy who had a very good combine.
Yeah, he killed it at the three cone. I mean, that was just that he put on a clinic. I mean, if you look at his time, the second best time was nowhere near his time. Obviously, a good 40 time, but the three cone, the 20-yard shuttle. I mean, this guy showed that he could be a really good slot cornerback at the next level. To me, that's what he is. And, you know, a guy that had some good film as well. So he kind of cemented himself there and helped himself in Indy. Anybody else? I thought Mike Jackson from Miami. I certainly didn't see him as a 4.45 guy because speed was one of the question marks that I had on Michael Jackson or Mike Jackson from Miami. But showed that he's a good athlete, and he ran in the 4.4s, which caught me by surprise. On film, I see a guy that is not that fast.
Yeah. A guy who, you know, has been getting a little bit more criticism than I think he deserves is Greedy Williams. He ran a 4.38 40. I mean, I thought, you know, he had cramps and stuff like that, so he didn't do all the drills. But I mean, I can't see how he isn't the first corner off the board.
I mean, if you look at him in the big games this year, he struggled against top competition. Against Alabama, against Georgia. So obviously teams are pointing out and they're criticizing Greedy Williams because they feel like he's got the raw tools. He's got, you know, the size and the speed, but he doesn't always play up to that. And I thought against Alabama, he really struggled. You know, a couple of guys that I felt like were going to run but didn't for various reasons. Byron Murphy came up short a little bit at the 40. I knew he wasn't the fastest guy out there, but he just, you know, in the mid 4.5s. I liked what Julian Love did. I really like his film, the corner from Notre Dame. He ran a 4.54, showed that he's a much better athlete, changed directions well, had a good three cone. So Julian Love, I think, is a player that a lot of people are sleeping on, but I like his film, and he did better at the combine than I thought he would. So anyway,
I thought he looked good in the they sort of had a drill where he sort of had to show how he could open up his hips and, you know, sort of coverage drills, and that's kind of what they run at the combine. And I thought he did well at that.
Anybody else that stood out from the safety group or the cornerback group for you before we wrap it up?
Well, I mean, we can't leave this without mentioning Jamel Dean's 4.31.
He actually was it was a 4.30 actually. I mean, it was officially I saw that it was 4.3 flat. And then there was a guy, Zedrick Woods from Ole Miss, who ran the fastest 40 time at the combine, 4.29. And you know, I called it out on Twitter when Kendall Sheffield wasn't going to perform, that nobody was going to break Andy Isabella's and Paris Campbell's time. All of a sudden, Woods came out of nowhere and became the fastest man at the combine. And this is from a safety, by the way. Safety who is 205 pounds. This isn't a corner who is 170 or 180. So that was pretty impressive. A couple of other guys I thought at the safety position. Thornhill from Virginia really had a good combine with the vertical jump, the broad jump, the 40 time. You know, he's a former corner, but he's 6 feet 205 and just moves really, really well. I like his film. And Darnell Savage is a player you and I like from Maryland. He ran a 4.36 and also showed that he's a heck of an athlete. So those are a couple of safeties that you guys should keep an eye on, because I think those players definitely deserve to go somewhere on day two.
Yeah.
Did your Taylor Rapp didn't – I mean, he worked out a little bit, but I didn't see the 40 time. I thought he did well in the short shuttle and the three cone.
Yeah, he did do well in the short shuttle.
Yeah, he really did. And then the three cone as well. But I was surprised that he didn't run the 40 time. I mean, everybody wanted to see that. I mean, everybody wanted to see where he was at. And he tested – he did everything – except for the 40. So we'll stay tuned to that when they have the pro day at Washington. By the way, a few closing words. Ed is going to be on the road. He's going to be covering a couple of pro days. Tell us about that a little bit, Ed, and you know, we'll preview that.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to University of Colorado Boulder's pro day, and then I'm going to be going to CSU's pro day, and then I'm going to University of Wyoming's pro day. I think it's like three pro days in 2 days. It's pretty exciting. Unfortunately, the Wyoming trip, I don't know if we're going to see the guys I want to see. You know, Guy Fana, the defensive tackle, you know, got himself into some trouble. Carl Granderson got himself into some trouble, won't be running. But, I'm excited for the CSU pro day. You know, I think that, you know, there's a couple of receivers at CSU that you're going to want to watch. I would say, Preston Williams is a guy, you know, we want to see how he does. And, you know, hopefully I can get an interview with him. And, obviously Olabisi Johnson, is another guy who did well at the combine and is draftable. CU Pro Day, definitely, Evan Worthington is a guy to watch. Drew Lewis is a guy to watch. I'm sure Sefo Lufau will do something there. I don't know what his prospects are for the NFL. I mean, he's been on draft radars in previous years, but he's probably maybe a guy who, you know, gets to go to camp with somebody and try out, but probably won't get drafted.
Well, stay tuned to that, because I mean, Ed is going to be on the road and he's going to be bringing reports from various pro days and Colorado, Colorado State, and Wyoming. Stay tuned to that this week, and there'll be some good reports and some interviews coming. Thanks for listening. This was Blitzcast number 49. For my co-host and partner, Ed Hunt, I'm your host, Alex Kaftoff. Take care. Well, we'll come back next week. Thanks for listening.